I'm online at WKOK.com. It's time for the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon. We've made it through the week. Oh, and it is race weekend. All right, Grand Prix of Monaco, 7:30 NBC on Sunday morning. Then the Indianapolis 500 on ABC. Then it's the Coca-Cola 600 NASCAR's longest race of the year from Charlotte Motor Speedway on Fox. All right, how do we get ready for that? Well, Brewers Outlet. They are our Friday sponsor, and they always have picked Friday. Why? Because they know going into the weekend you need to stock up, and I am here to encourage you to do exactly that. Beverages, snacks, the pickle bar, which Buhner has been at, I think, since last Wednesday. So why don't you stop by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They are, without a doubt, the beverage supermarket. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors studio at the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Humble's Wharf. Hilscher's General Store, the 21st century version of the General Store. You name it, they have it at Hilscher's General Store. Don't believe me? Check out the website at www.hilscherstore.com, and you'll do what I do. You'll rush down there to get a variety of items on routes 11 to 15, just 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. This is Carburation Day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kevin, at this moment, is excited.
What? I'm still watching. What? Is this important?
Okay, we're loaded with guests today. Why? Because basically my broadcast partner is useless today. Because in the Allen Iverson world, he is embracing practice. He loves practice. That's all that today is. Oh, sure, race setups and the whole thing. It's just an excuse. Okay, get them out there, run them around the track, try not to crash, bring the thing in. We'll see you Sunday. Thrilled that we had Vince Welsh on earlier this week. But today we're going to have Neil Riddell of the Altoona Mirror. And we're also going to have Tony DeFazio of the Pittsburgh Sports Report, plus a mystery guest as well. We needed to get guests today because Kevin has mentally checked out. As you can tell. Time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
It's the Memorial Day sales event
at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai. Choose from over 50 new Hyundais with savings over $3,000.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the fastest growing import dealer in Central PA.
The fuel saving 2013 Hyundai Elantra starts at $16,645.
Pick from over 15 of the sporty 2013 Hyundai Sonatas that are really turning heads, and they're as low as $18,990.
SMC has a good selection of all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson and the hot new sleek 2013 Veloster.
Hyundai has America's best warranty. Warranty at 10 years or 100,000 miles.
And during Sunbury Motors Memorial Day sales event, you can get financing as low as 0%.
Sunbury Motors Lincoln has the totally redesigned 2013 MKZ.
That is a must drive on your new car shopping list.
SMC is making luxury affordable by taking over $10,000 off on a new Lincoln Navigator.
It's the Memorial Day sales event
at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Look for the black building directly across from Wise Markets. Also at sunburymotors.com.
Hurry, sale ends May 31st.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Penn's Cave and Wildlife Park would like to thank our United States military men and women for their dedicated service to this great country. In doing so, we're offering a special discount on tour tickets throughout the entire season to all branches of active and retired military personnel when they present their military ID. Step down underground to experience a true natural treasure during the all-water Penn's Cave Tour given entirely by boat. On the Penn's Cave Wildlife Farm and Nature Tour, you'll ride through our grazing pastures and mountain trails to see native North American animals, including the timberwolves and the Penn's Cave icon, the mountain lion. And opening soon, go get lost in our new 4,800-square-foot Prospector Pete's Miner's Maze, located out on the Maze Plaza. This Memorial weekend, treat your family to a day at Penn's Cave and Wildlife Park. Have lunch in our cave cafe, browse our large gift shop, or pan for real gems. Located only 18 miles east of State College near Center Hall. Like us on Facebook or visit pennscave.com for more information.
Start your summer holiday at Port Royal Speedway, routes 322 and 75 Port Royal. Saturday, see the Fallen Heroes Championship Triple 25 lap features for super sprints, late models, and 305 sprints. Gates open at 5, adult admission $20, students 12 to 18, just $5. There's fireworks and Pepsi night. Win tickets to NASCAR, Pocono, Hershey Park, and Knoebels just by attending. Fun for everyone at Port Royal Speedway this weekend, where the best drivers race. Coming to Port Royal June 4th, Super Late Model Speed Week, and wingless USAC sprints June 8th. Details at PortRoyalSpeedway.com.
Why wait for what you want? Give your devices the speed they need with Service Electric Cablevision, together with CATV Service high-speed internet. With speeds up to 10 megabits per second and growing, CATV offers the fastest, most reliable internet experience available. Simultaneously download music, stream movies and TV shows, play online games, browse social media sites, and more, all on multiple devices. Plus, save big by bundling high-speed internet with digital cable and digital phone. Visit SECV.com today or call your nearest location to get connected with the best in broadband.
I just saw the picture you put on the website.
That is a great photo.
Once again, it shows there's no passing.
Oh, no, that shows completely the opposite.
No passing.
Today was the Firestone Freedom 100 Indy Lights race, which is the step down from the IZOD IndyCar series.
Yeah.
Four cars, less than a car length, crossing the yard of bricks. That's a finish.
Once again, it shows no passing.
Oh, come on. There was a lot of nice passing.
Do you see any passing in that picture?
Yeah, there's one, two, three cars.
I see nobody going in front of anybody else.
It was the end of the race. Now you're just trying to incite something.
Yes, I am.
Now you're just being nasty.
I'm just trying to see how hot you're going to get under the collar as you defend your turf. I mean, and how has practice been today?
The Hondas showed some real quick times. Out of nowhere. I mean, these were engines that were getting obliterated in qualifying. Simon Pagenaud turned to 225.8, which is the fastest lap of carb day. Matter of fact, six Hondas in the top 10 were beating out the Chevrolets today. So it'll be interesting. Honda typically, and last year this was the case too, has had a better race engine than qualifying engine. Yeah, that's what I figured. If you want, I can go back and start watching the pit stop competition.
Anytime you want. Feel free to give us updates at 5:05.
I'm sure. Yeah, thanks.
Feel free.
It's always Twitter.
Wow.
There's always Twitter.
I mean, you're actually watching practice.
There was one point in practice
you're
today.
You're watching practice.
There was one point in practice today where there were three wide, two deep.
That's great.
Now, tell me, there's not going to be passing in this 500-mile race.
I mean, I looked at the picture you showed us today. There's not one car passing anybody in that picture. Everybody's just like, no.
You're gonna shut your phone off on Sunday, aren't you?
better yet, I'm changing numbers.
First time a car passes, I'm like, see? And that's all I'm going to text you. Just see?
No, last time, what would you text me? Like 18 times last year during the race? Look at that.
Well,
like,
actually, you were actually engaged at that time. You were actually engaged in the conversation for a few minutes. Now understand, when Steve Jones is texting back and forth, I text like, you know, several words, like a conversation. The most you get from Steve is like three, five if he's engaged. I got seven on one text. That's the most I've ever received. I mean, that has to be by far the most you have ever sent me in a text. I was shocked.
I don't usually send long, involved text to anybody because there are usually I'm answering five or six at a time.
You're so popular. Okay?
No, but I'm saying, though, it cuts back, and I wanted people to know that I got what they sent me. So,
or you do what you normally do, and you don't even respond at all, so I don't even know if you got what I sent you. And then 3 days later, I'll be like, hey, did you get my text? Yeah. What do you mean? Well, you didn't say anything.
That's only for special people.
That's it. I'm going back to watch Carb Day. Gone.
How about Phil Jackson? Phil Jackson's promoting his new book. And Phil Jackson said something that I have said for years. Years. And people have looked at me like I was from outer space when I said it. If Phil Jackson was picking his own team, guess which player he would pick first?
I'm going to say LeBron.
Nope.
Really?
No, he picked the guy I've said all along I would pick. Bill Russell. I've said the entire time, if I had to start a team, he'd be the first player I'd pick.
Did he say where Jordan would be on the list?
Oh, he'd be second. But see, the difference is that at my age, I can give better historical perspective than some people can because I saw Russell play. Russell's greatness was that Russell did what it took to win. Need to block a shot, he'd block a shot. Play some defense, he'd play defense. You know, he'd fill in his offense where need be. He was a good passer out of the post. The guy was a winner. He won two Olympic gold medals. He won two NCAA championships and an Olympic gold medal and 11 NBA championships. But here's the best stat of all. Bill Russell played in 21 clinching games in his career. 21. Win, you got it, lose, you're out. 21. 21. You want to know what his record was as a player in those 21 games? Biggest pressure games of his career. Guess what his record was?
21 games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would normally say like 18-3, but I'm going to guess 21-0. Because of the way you brought it up.
He was 21-0. 21-0. That's college, Olympics, pros. 21-0.
That's not too bad.
And he is the common denominator in those 21 games. College, Olympics, pros.
But then you get into the whole other topic. Wow, that was a different era of basketball.
Bill Russell, see, I saw Bill Russell play. All right? I saw him play. Okay? The guy he guarded a lot was somebody named Chamberlain.
He wasn't bad.
Chamberlain would chew this group up. There is nobody who could defend the post today against Chamberlain? Nobody. Who would you pick? LeBron's a powerfully built guy who can defend the post as well as anybody in the game. He can't defend Chamberlain. Couldn't do it. Can't. Russell could. Now, LeBron James can play five spots on the floor, no question about it. And this, by the way, is not a put-down to anybody else. My goodness, if you asked me I had to start my team with Michael Jordan, I'd be, oh, great. If you told me I had to start my team with LeBron James, it'd be great. Or Kobe, or Shaq, or Bird, or Magic, or Kareem. Kareem, one of the ultimate winners of all time. UCLA, Bucks, Lakers. Okay. If you told me I could start my team with any of those guys, I'd be like, this is great. And one of the important things that you do in the NBA game is that you fill in around that star. Magic had Kareem, he had Worthy. Bird had Mikhail Parrish, Dennis Johnson. He called DJ the best teammate he ever had. You know, Walton came off the bench. McAdoo came off the Laker bench. Jordan had Pippen, Kukoc, Rodman. LeBron has a good supporting cast around him, obviously, with Bosh, Wade, two great players. Now filling in with a Ray Allen. And the kind of guys that he has around. Russell had Sam Jones, Casey Jones, John Havlicek, Bill Sharman, Tommy Heinsohn, and Bob Cousy. That 64 Celtics team was very special. Very special. Now, I know that anything pre-ESPN, and I say this with all sincerity, I'm not kidding around here. Anything pre-ESPN in 79 is considered to be mythology. Oh, look over there. That's Zeus. That's, you know.
No, that's true, because how many NBA games were covered in a season?
But I think in any sport, it's considered to be mythology.
Yeah. But again, that goes back to the comments, the topics we've had several times, is how many of those games were covered on broadcast network television, because that's all we had.
Right. So, I mean, there's, really DiMaggio, Ruth, Williams, Mays, Aaron, a lot of people are figures of mythology. Jimmy Brown, Sammy Baugh, Brooklyn, Unitas. They're really figures of mythology to some people. Bobby Orr, Jean Beliveau, Henri Richard, Maurice Richard, Gordie Howe. Mythology. Chamberlain and Russell are part of basketball's mythology. Not on ESPN. Didn't exist. Patrick Chambers, next half hour on Coaches versus Cancers. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That is where I safely reside, especially during the month of May, which there are moments I feel like I'm on a racing rotisserie, spinning and feeling the heat. I know it's your favorite topic. That was Drew Kelly, by the way, coming to work. Kelly, by the way, texted me yesterday.
Yeah, did you give him a one-word response?
No, I gave him sentences.
Wow.
He says he is willing to tell the truth.
Uh-huh. He's easily bought as well. And again,
I don't need to buy people when it comes to your golf game. And I know that when we talk about your golf game, part of the strategy about talking about your golf game is to get you off the racing topic.
That's not going to happen today. That's just not going to happen today. You could try as hard as you want. I mean, I'm trying to inject little things here and there of other sports, but I'm back home again in Indiana.
Somebody who at times works with the speed of an Indy pace car, as far as I'm concerned. Patrick Chambers joining us today, the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions.
You know, I run an offense just like OB, a little NASCAR.
I know, and I've been there when you've run it.
Not by choice.
My friend, how are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. I'm down here in beautiful Avalon, New Jersey.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad you could carve out a little time for us because, obviously, Coaches versus Cancer. We'll be out on the golf course a week from today, and you actually will pick up clubs at this tournament for the first time and swing. You also have enlisted a playing partner that will be intriguing.
Correct. Obviously, Bill O'Brien is that playing partner. I'm sure he's playing a little bit more than me right now. I got to dust off the sticks and, watch out for all women and children. Be careful. Can you say, I know you say four when you hit an errant shot. Can you say four, five, six, or seven after that if you just keep it up?
Well, I mean, advice to you would be instead of taking the youngsters over to the little course with the windmill, I'd try a driving range first.
You're right. I'm going to have to get so miniature golf doesn't count.
No.
I'll get to the driving range sometime, hopefully this weekend, and we'll get a little tune-up. We'll be ready to go for Friday. It's going to be a great day.
One of the parts of this that is important is the passion with which everybody attacks this because the disease is something you have to attack with a passion. When you're around the committee and also, put your personal touch on it, the importance of making it a first-class event, what does that mean to you?
The committees and the volunteers, I mean, it's all volunteer work. It's just incredible what they do. I sat in a meeting the other day. Everybody's organized. Everybody's detailed. They're giving up their time. They're raising funds. They're raising awareness. They're doing everything that they can, and they're not getting paid for this. They're doing it because they want to fight this thing. And for what they've been doing over the years, and I'm lucky enough to pick up the baton and keep running with it, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, we're gonna surpass $2 million. I mean, that's a big-time number, and we're going to continue to fight. I'm going to try to make this a celebration. I've been saying that. I've been changing my tune. Everything, when you hear the word cancer, gets very negative.
Right.
I think we need to celebrate the survivors and celebrate the caregivers and celebrate the legacies of the ones that we've lost. And I think we need to change it a little bit to make it more upbeat and positive because it can be positive, but we have to continue to fight the good fight.
Well, in fact, let's just extend that just a bit. People that I think would not have made it 20 years ago are now living and thriving because of the advances made with research, which only happens through money.
You're exactly right. And everybody's wondering where the money's going. Well, it's going to research, and they're making strides in that area. I was down at Hershey a year ago, and they were showing me all around the offices, all around where they come up with, suggestions, ideas, trial and error. And it's amazing. So your funds are working hard, and they're making a difference. And don't think, I gave last year, I gave the year before, I gave the year. Trust me, keep giving. Keep giving. They need your support. And if you can't give, go out there and give up your time. Volunteer and show your support in that way.
Just a quick basketball note for everybody. Foreign tour. You're going to take your team to Belgium. I know in Avalon right now you're brushing up and you're Flemish.
I'm working hard on getting bilingual before August.
Yeah, well, I've done that as well, but I don't know if Pig Latin counts. But the value of getting a young team together, it's going to be a mixture of youth and also experience, to get them together on a court against other people, plus the 10 practices you're allowed, what can that mean for the upcoming season?
I'll tell you what, right off the bat, it's team bonding. I mean, that's the first thing I think of. Second thing is we're going to be a little bit ahead because you get those 10 practices, late September now. There's not going to be a major learning curve. They're all going to know terminology. They're all going to know drills. They're all going to know, our defenses, not all of it, but some of our defenses, some of our offenses. Hopefully the veterans will help the younger guys. And I also think getting them, to Belgium and letting them see the world and expanding their horizons and culture, give them a little culture, a little taste of culture. And, you know, if they don't make the NBA, they can say, hey, I've been to these few places and I wouldn't mind playing in these different towns. So I think there's so much we can get from this foreign tour. And, oh, by the way, get Tim Frazier back on the court and you let him get knocked around a little bit so he gets used to getting hit before we actually start the real season.
All right. And also the fact that players, some of whom have not worked together before in an active game against somebody else, the value of that.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's going to be great, the chemistry. You're not going to see it in those 10 days. You're not going to see it in
but it's a start.
It's definitely a start, and you're going to find out what kids can do, you know, what their strengths are, especially the freshmen. With the veterans, we already know, and they're working on their skill development. But the freshmen, you're going to get an idea of, you know, who might be able to help you right away. And hopefully, you know, and then again, you have to be patient, too. And you can't be like, oh, you know, until January, February, that's when you know, these freshmen really start to grow up.
Yeah, no question about that. Back to the tournament once again. The fact that the Penn State basketball family comes together, those alumni, which you have worked personally so hard to cultivate to be, you know, an important part of the program, when you see them turn out for something like this, does that tell you the progress you're making in that regard of making sure the alumni understand the 100 now, it's going to be 18-year tradition?
You know what? I'm going to take it back just one step to the alumni weekend that we had this year.
Yeah.
It was the best attended event I've had in 2 years.
No doubt.
And they all came out. It was amazing. And then I'm seeing it trickle to the Coaches versus Cancer weekend next week. You're seeing it like Pete Lisicki, you know, Joe Crisman. I mean, Brian Seacrest has been tweeting out different names and different people that are coming back, and Bruce and Jerry. And it's just, it's awesome to see all these basketball players and football players. And then all the coaches, from what I'm understanding, a lot of the coaches, the 31 coaches, are going to be playing as well. So the one team factor comes through again, and the support for one another is absolutely there. You know, things are starting to change. I think people are starting to feel the tradition, and they're starting to feel the welcoming from myself and the staff and from the committee to come back and be a part of this.
Yeah, and as somebody who's been around for a few of those, you have. Take my word. Take my word.
But it's an ongoing process, as you know.
Yeah, it is an ongoing process. But you know what? There's going to come a point where there's going to be a realization that, you know what? There is a tradition, and part of the tradition is giving back the way everybody does. Thank you so much. Enjoy Avalon, and you know, if you hit one and it hits one of the, you know, the spokes of the windmill, don't worry about it. Just hit again.
Thanks, Steve. I'll see you, buddy.
All right, my friend. Patrick Chambers, head basketball coach, Nittany Lions. You know, he made a really good point about yelling four when you miss hit a shot.
I'm not going to bite. I'm savvy this time to your ways.
His quote was, do you yell out four and five, six, seven? With Kevin, we yell out four and then we dial 911. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back, Neil Riddell, Tony DeFazio. Coming up in the next hour. Kevin, we need to. Look, has the pit stop competition taken place yet?
I'm recording it. I'm recording it so I can watch it later.
Not even the Andretti's record it.
I bet they will if they win.
I don't think that's what they care about winning.
There's quite a bit of money at stake there. Yeah, but that's okay. For the cruise, though. I mean, there's a lot of money for the cruise there.
Cars going 150 miles an hour around the track. Just see how they work, and you're all excited.
I am not going to be baited.
Like you're all like, oh, Honda, Honda, Honda.
No,
you know the biggest part is about like a race engine.
Okay? Yeah.
Is can it go 500 miles?
Right.
And nobody knows that because these guys haven't done that yet.
Well, if you base it on last year, both manufacturers had cars that did not make it and had plenty of cars that did.
That was last year.
That's true.
Different engine, different time. Well, Urban Meyer with a little different feel. Talked about undefeated seasons. Says there's really no parallel between the Ohio State roster he had and the one he had at Florida. So he doesn't face the same challenges. Said maybe a few recruiting classes can change that. He says, I don't think we've reached that Florida status. I could show you some film, and we're certainly not there, he said. We were not good enough last season when we had these high expectations. I'm biased, but I think that the 08 team is as good or better than any team to ever play college football. He's about the 08 Florida team. Meyer admittedly overreacted to too many internal problems in the past, but over time he's realized something, that he's not always needed as much as he thought. He can get out of the way sometimes. Meyer found time to tackle several topics in his office. On the fragility of winning and how Alabama and the SEC balances it well. Says that's how I think Alabama's really done a good job. You've got to give those guys a lot of credit. A lot of times you see that nowadays, the entitlement issues that come with winning and outside influences. I just think it's why the SEC is so good. You look at Alabama, they should have lost 3 games. Georgia beat them. LSU beat them. I watched that one. He said it was over. Obviously, they ended up beating those teams, even though it looked like they were beat. He says, I thought they were really good. I think there are some really good teams in that conference. I'm concerned about the Big Ten's declining NFL draft numbers and sagging reputation. Am I worried? Yeah. He says, I can only control what I recruit and develop players. There are some great players in this league and some excellent coaches. I think that's going to start to change. Okay. On the root of the SEC success in recruiting, by the way, you know, all those Ohio State guys that went to the NFL this past draft, he recruited none of them. On the root of the SEC success in recruiting compared to other conferences, just look at the map of where the players are. There is certainly a population shift, which we've talked about here how many times now. I also think it's cyclical. There was a time New Jersey was loaded with potential NFL players. There are other times it's not. Maybe we just get caught in a little bit of it. He said, I think that some of the good players from the northern part or the eastern part went down south. When you're losing Sharif Floyd and Dominique Easley, those are usually guys who would stay in the Northeast. And, yes, Penn State did actively recruit both those guys. And whether coaches settling into a current job can go 10 to 20 years at one spot. He said, I don't think you can. I think Bob Stoops is a guy I'd like to talk to. A guy I watch, I admire the way he handles it because he's a family guy. He's created a beast at Oklahoma. At Oklahoma, what's good enough? But I have a lot of respect for Bob Stoops. I talk to him. I know this. He's not an isolated nut job. He's a family guy who enjoys his life and leaves the office and does things. He's going to do his best. He tells me all the time that I'm going to do my best, not for you, not for these guys. It's whatever's best for my players. Why you won't forecast his tenure length at Ohio State or show concern for his long-term impact on the game. So I've learned a lesson. I really want to make the great state of Ohio proud. I want to impact people and enjoy my family. In the big picture, a legacy is not that important. I'm not trying to sit there and worry about my legacy. I'm trying to worry about Ohio State. I know his commitment to the spread offense is overrated. He said, we're more of a pro-style offense. We may not look like it at times, but schematically we are. We ran more direct handoffs than we've ever run. I have two tight ends that can really block. The spread offense we ran last year wasn't a true spread. It was a pro style with spread elements in it.
That's true.
And whether Ohio State can implement more of the spread when recruiting classes take shape, says, I don't know. He says, I think we'll always have a little bit more of a pro element to it compared to what we used to have. Also, you have weather issues. Once in a while, it just depends on how it's working. If teams are working all their time or maybe defending the perimeter run game, that leaves some voids, and we have to take advantage of it. Offensive changes in 2013. We're going through a really fine menu of who we are offensively. We know what Braxton Miller can do, he says, and we have to be able to utilize his talents. On concern looming with the college football playoff, he says, I'm as concerned of this as I am when I play around with Kevin Herr.
Did not see
interesting.
That.
You made the cut. My biggest thing is the wear and tear on players. If someone would have told us after 06 and 08, he says, by the way, you have one more. I don't know who you're going to play at that stage. He said, the 08 team played South Carolina, Florida State, Alabama, Oklahoma. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you'd have to play, what, USC in the championship game? So you have to be really smart on how you practice leading up to this entire thing. To add another game, and it's not just another game. When people say that, it says they've never coached in those games. When we played Alabama, that wasn't just another game. On the potential of an 8-team playoff, it says I worry about 8 teams. Whenever they have that discussion, it ought to be number one, student-athlete welfare, not television, not commissioners, not that. Student-athlete welfare. That's what's best for the student-athlete. On why college football should not follow the NFL playoff model. The NFL is not into the development of players. They are into the drafting of players and then going at it. The minute they do that in college, you're not developing players any longer. I'm paying players. I think they should get a stipend, no doubt, 100%. Really disappointed when they rescinded that. I understand because I was at some schools where that would be major, and I can understand that you can't just pay football players. My daughters are volleyball players. How do you pay them or not pay them? I understand the issues, but absolutely I think there should be something involved. On the need to pay expenses of recruits and their families and official visits, that's nonsense. He says the mom and dad have to buy a plane ticket. Kid from Texas visiting Ohio State, we should pay for that. They don't have $1,200. They shouldn't have to pay the visit to the school of their son. So there are things along the way that they can have. We should be having those discussions. Instead, we're having discussions about unlimited recruiting material or something like that. How do you pay for it? The BCS is rolling, is ready to get billions of dollars. That's how you pay for it. Why, no question, he would still be at Florida if health issues never surfaced. I realized not too long after, around February 2011, I called Jeremy Foley and said I made a mistake. Once I felt like everything was under control, it was like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? So those are some of the comments from Urban Meyer.
Yeah, the only one that I disagreed with was paying the expenses of the families for recruits on their visit. I'm sorry, I don't think it's right to be able to do that to recruits when someone who academically wants to go to that school still has to pay their own way to get there.
Well, and not only that, if the student's from Texas and wants to go there,
right,
they had to pay the out-of-state rate.
right, which isn't cheap.
So I mean, I'm not on the same page with him about that. Because once you pick a spot, your expenses as a parent end. My expenses as a parent are far from over. I still have two in college.
That's why I stopped at one.
I'm not going to say anything. I really
moving
I won't.
On.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Time to stock up beverages, snacks. Right now, Buhner at the Pickle Bar. Neil Riddell, Tony DeFazio next half hour.